Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Betrayal. I'm your host, Darren Karp. In this episode, I'm going to tell you about one of the most bizarre and disturbing examples of betrayal you've probably ever heard of. Lakeisha Johnson, a single mom from Washington State, thought that she could trust her children in the safety of others, all so she could meet up with a man she met online. But she was wrong, and the betrayal was beyond excruciating for both Lakeisha and her family. It's a story of romance and trust that went completely off the rails and made Lakeisha Johnson's life a living hell. But you know me. As someone who loves to talk, I couldn't do this without a fun guest co-host. She's a comedian, host, writer, and podcaster. You may know her best as a host on HQ Trivia and HQ Words. It's the multi-talented Anna Roisman. Anna, welcome to Betrayal.
Oh my God. Hi. Thank you for having me. What an intro too. Thank you so much. I wasn't feeling multi-talented until now. So I appreciate that.
Are you a big true crime fan? I mean, are you absorbing this stuff just as much as I am? Are you rocking yourself to sleep with murder stories or what brought you into the true crime world in the first place?
So I love true crime. I've always been obsessed with horror movies since I was a kid. And I think like as I got older, getting into documentaries and stuff, I would watch all the true crime docs, especially over quarantine. I feel like it was just like we needed to watch anything that was about murder. I prefer to watch them rather than comedy at night. Maybe that's because I do comedy, but I get home and I want to watch a crime doc. But I also am related to a serial killer, which I think confirmed a lot for me, which I know we wanted to talk about.
I have a lot of questions about this. Can you please reveal? I know the serial killer, but can you reveal the serial killer that you are related to?
Sure. Okay. So my grandfather was named Sam Durst when he was alive, and his cousin is Robert Durst, who you might know from the famous HBO documentary, The Jinx.
The biggest hot mic incident of all time, I would say.
I mean.
Right? Has to be, kind of?
Has to be. That was huge.
So what's that? Your like second cousin once? Like what is that?
Distant. Like, we'll go with, I don't know. I don't know the numbers.
You wish it was
I've
distant.
I've said the number before and then my mom will call and be like, you're wrong. That's not right. And I'm like, okay, then explain it to us. But no. And here are some of the questions I get. Have I met him? Do we have a relationship? The answer is no. I would love to interview him in prison someday. That is on my list of, you know, dreams.
Well, let me ask you this as kind of a fan. You know, obviously like there's real victims, real crimes here.
Yeah.
Like it's almost this weird fandom that's kind of come around true crime. But for you is like being related to Robert Durst, one of your like two truths and a lie. Like, is that your like cool fact that you put in like as a good conversation starter? Or are you a little hesitant about admitting it?
I love to admit it on stage. I've talked about it in stand-up over the years a lot just because I think it's a fun fact for me. You know, like if you throw a murder into my family, like I'm going to talk about it. You know what I mean?
especially that, like the Jinx.
Yeah.
You know,
I always like to tell people, you know, I could have been related to Fred Durst. I think I've lucked out. Robert Durst seems like a step up. You know, HBO is a little like more glamorous. You know, I think of it as like he had an HBO show. Like, That's how okay, I
but
think
HBO
it.
Or Limp Bizkit? I don't know. It's like six of one, half a dozen of the other. Anna.
You're right. It depends on my audience.
But this, you are the perfect person to get into this betrayal case. Now, before we get into today's show, I just wanted to share some relevant information to this case for our listeners to keep in mind, kind of while they're listening. And we were looking up all these facts, and I'm sure you're going to probably find some of these surprising as I did, but did you know that just last year in 2020, kind of a wild year for everyone, I think we can say that, over 365,000 children went missing in the United States, according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. That's nearly 1,000 children who went missing every single day.
What?
And actually 2020 was down compared to others because in 2019, over 431,000 were reported missing, which is, to me, an astounding number. 400,000, I mean, children is a lot. And I went to search it a little bit. Now, as crazy as those statistics are, and I think that they really are, it's important to kind of mention that if a child were to run away multiple times, that's counted as separate instances. So it could be the same child, not necessarily individual. And then if they're found, you know, those get kind of updated and amended as it goes along. So it might not be like 400,000 children, but
that's still
a very astounding number. Don't you agree with that?
Especially considering that's the year we were in lockdown, right?
I mean, technically it was down from 2019, so maybe quarantine kind of affected it. But oddly, you know, this we'll never fully know because not every child that goes missing is obviously reported, and there are certain instances of which they're found. So the numbers kind of speak for themselves, but also leave a lot of questions. But in this case of betrayal, we deal with children, and I always think that's a very sensitive topic. And so I want to start off this case giving you guys a little backstory. Let's get into the details. I have a feeling, Anna, you're going to have a lot to say about this as a comedian, but also as just a true crime fan.
I felt Lakeisha was craving a boyfriend. She needed to be loved by someone other than her mother.
Everybody at some point needs love in their life.
Lakeisha Johnson was just 22-year-old. She was a single mother of three from Kennewick, Washington. I've never been there. And her kids were super young at the time of this case. 2, 1, 6 months, which I have to imagine has to be the hardest time. Like a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old, and a 6-month-old?
Yeah, I don't know how to do that math. Like, isn't it 9 months between? Those seem very close together, you know? I know there's science, but wow, that seems like a lot.
And Lakeisha's mom, Tamara, also helped raise the kids. So she did have support being a single mom with three kids. A little crazy. Now, Lakeisha, being a single mom, was looking for love in her life after having previous relationships go wrong. I feel like everyone's got to feel some type of support, if not a romantic partner.
That's a natural feeling for a mother, too, I think, for her own child.
Of course.
To find love.
Lakeisha looked for a boyfriend on a dating app, saying that she was so shy that it was a good fit for her. And she matched with a guy named Kanoa, who she was excited to message him. It is an adrenaline rush getting a match online. I don't care how old you are. It's like this. It's like getting a like on Instagram, right? Like it's like automatic endorphins, I imagine. And for someone who's really looking for that, it's very important. Now, in fact, they spent the entire first night talking to each other on the dating app, which quickly grew into many days of all-day texting. I know that you were 12 once and did this with AIM chat like I did. I'm sure you did, right?
Anna? Absolutely. All the magic happened on AIM. That's how I scheduled my my losing my virginity, like through AIM. Dory, it was someone I know. Wait. It wasn't like a chat room. But
yeah, I was like, maybe you will have more to say about this case.
He was very sensitive with what he said. He understood emotions, and that, to me, was attractive. It was his words I fell in love with.
Essentially, Lakeisha and Kanoa were best friends. They talked every day, all day, 3 weeks and 2 days after they started chatting, which isn't that long.
Mm-hmm.
Kanoa asked Lakeisha to come to Spokane, Washington, to meet him. But Lakeisha didn't have a license to drive at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He asked Lakeisha if she would go with his cousin, if the cousin would pick her up and drive her to Spokane. Lakeisha agreed and was excited to meet him. A few days later, Kanoa's cousin Teresa picked up Lakeisha and her youngest child to head to Spokane.
I have a question.
Please.
My question is, does Kanoa have a license?
Great question, which for me would have been my be like, well, you come pick me up and you come see me. I got three kids.
You come here. Be a freaking man if you're this cool guy and get in your car and come see me, you know. That was my first question. And then my second question was, why is one child going?
Yeah. That was sort of, I mean, to some extent, I'm happy that it was just one child.
Absolutely.
Like, don't take the crew. Don't be taking the posse. But why is any child going? Like, right. For me, I would want to make, and also awkward being in a car with someone you've never met for 3+ hours.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
You've never met this person. How can you, you know? So Lakeisha specifically said that she
she wanted to bring the kid.
Maybe a buffer. Mm. You know, and she claimed, though, Lakeisha said that she wanted to bring the kid because Kanoa wanted to be around them, wanted to meet them. And to be fair, if you are going to embark on this romantic journey as a single mother, kids got to come first. Mm-hmm. If Kanoa and the kids are not vibing, that's got to be the biggest red flag for a parent, I would imagine.
Although I think that's like date two or three. I really do think you need to find a connection with this person before you bring them around your children. That's just a personal preference. Maybe some people are a little more brave than me, but I'm like, no, let's see if we connect in person first.
Now, as the two of them arrive, Lakeisha got a text from Kanoa suggesting that they ditch their dinner plans and instead play a game of laser tag instead.
I was excited, but there was a problem. And I was like, well, I don't have anybody here to watch Kion. And he mentioned Teresa could watch him. And then she turned around and told me, oh, it'll be okay. Go have fun. Your son will be safe with me. Teresa had a kid of her own, and she just seemed like a good person. So I was like, okay. And I was like, can't wait to meet him. I can't wait to meet him. My stomach was jumping up and down from excitement.
Teresa lended Lakeisha her car to take so that she could go meet up with Kanoa and do whatever she wanted for the rest of the evening. So never met, leaving her kid, but also kind of having this collateral of having this person's car, which feels like, you know, when you're at a bodega or something and you forget your wallet and you're like, hold on to my license and I'll come right back with the $10 that I owe you. And so it's a little bit of like, but a car and a kid feel like big collateral to me.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of trust, very upfront trust. I don't know about that.
Now, obviously, to your point, giving away your child to someone we only just met is a major red flag. I mean, I know parents who won't even leave their kid alone with a friend, be a family member after the kid is born with youngsters. But I also sort of see being really excited about meeting this person that you could potentially fall in love with, that if everything goes according to her plan in her mind, this is nothing. This is just a perfect situation to go meet up with the love of your life, right?
Totally. I was going to also say, like, I don't have kids, thank God. And when you see people like on airplanes and stuff, when they have three little babies or whatever, like what she had, they're tired. If a stranger comes up and they're like, go get a cup of coffee, I'll hold this crying child for you, you're probably going to be like, oh my God, my guardian angel. Absolutely.
Right.
Like, I grew up with very chill parents who like left us alone a lot. And like, you know, they always, we were allowed to watch whatever we wanted on TV as long as we left them alone. So like, you know, I get it. I get that some parents are like, God, I could use a break. And she probably was there. And this woman seemed nice. They took a long car ride. And so I don't fault her for that. I actually think, like, she's probably tired. And this woman
was like,
sure.
And as the story unfolds, I mean, Teresa is kind of proving to be trustworthy. I mean, literally, like, I can't get my friends to come down, like, walk 10 blocks to dinner. If this person's willing to kind of drive 3 hours to some random location, they're just... It does establish a little trust. Yeah. So 2 hours after Teresa had walked away, there was still no sign of Kanoa. So Lakeisha's sitting in this car waiting for Kanoa to go to some laser tag. He never shows up. Lakeisha also texted Teresa letting her know of the situation, but she wasn't answering. My heart is palpitating right now. Lakeisha knew immediately that something was wrong.
and I had called him and I had texted him and nobody answered me. And I texted Tressa and she didn't answer me. So I was like, okay, something's wrong. I was mad at them for not answering me. I was mad at myself for allowing my son to go. Every worst possible thing a mom can think of ran through my mind.
For me, like, I've been in these situations before where you get so excited about something and then reality hits and it's like your bubble has burst and you can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. It's like she has gone from like the highest high to the lowest low. And I also think maybe judging from how much she really wanted love, you know, it's hard to, there's a question of self-esteem here. And I sort of feel like she didn't want to feel embarrassed. She's trying to impress this guy. She doesn't want to call the cops on this potential guy and the cousin. Like,
totally.
There's a, like, she almost felt like she was to blame. She was overreacting. She didn't want to get them to trouble. And I think that's kind of a self-esteem thing.
Yeah, no, I feel for her in this. Because A, she can't drive this car anywhere, right?
She doesn't have her license. She's only sitting there and she's sort of waiting and no one is responding to her. And, you know, it's got to be a nightmare for her. So Lakeisha finally agreed, essentially, to call the police, but gives Teresa sort of the benefit of the doubt and texted her that if she didn't have her son back by the morning, she was going to call the cops.
The morning?
Which, I know, feels crazy, but...
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
I'm picturing it 4 p.m. I don't know what time it actually is, but I was picturing, like, a late afternoon.
That's what I was thinking, because I was like, they were going to go to dinner, but they're going to laser tag, so it has to be in the 6 or 7 o'clock range. She's waiting for 2 hours. So, yeah, so essentially she's going to have to sleep in this car, like, because how else is she going to get anywhere? So the fact that she even wanted to sleep in the car and but she's a little beholden to Teresa because she doesn't have any sort of means to help herself. And also, it's maybe kind of the best solution so that way if she's overreacting, you know, all is all. Now, Teresa never showed up with a child by morning and Lakeisha finally called the cops. Mm-hmm. I wonder as a parent how it would feel to call the cops in this situation because I imagine Lakeisha's terrified, but also I did this to myself a little bit here.
Yeah. I mean... Yes, but I think above all, like, find your kid, you know? Like, that's where you kind of have to abandon the self-esteem issues and just call the police and say, my child is missing. I knew this person. You know, she doesn't have to, like, until they're with her helping her. I think it's smart to just call and say the facts. Like, you know, don't.
Yeah.
If anyone's in that kind of situation, you don't want to think too much. That's not the time to be like, am I a bad parent or not? Like, no. Call and find your kid.
It's probably better to overreact than underreact when it's dealing with your kid. And if this weren't dramatic enough, Anna, during the phone call to the police, Teresa finally texts Lakeisha back, like, at the same time and said,
no,
this is such a casual text considering we were talking about punctuation. Hey, I got your son. Where are you at? After Lakeisha was clearly worried and texting her being like, what the hell? So
that's like this. I've dated these kinds of people, you know, that's like the 2 days after you sleep with them and they're like, hey, what are you up to next weekend? And you're like, no.
Or what are you up to at 2 a.m.? And you're like, yeah, I know why you're asking me what I'm up to. Like, so casual, completely dismissive of the other person's like agony that they've been sitting in for 48 hours or in this case, overnight. Ugh. Now, this text prompts Lakeisha to urgently hang up the phone with police, telling them that everything is okay and forget about
it. Oh, no.
But she's probably feeling this immediate sense of relief. Lakeisha immediately calls Teresa. And of course, Lakeisha is demanding answers, wants to know the whereabouts of her son, obviously. Mm-hmm. Teresa tells her that he's fine. He's there with her and that she put him to bed and went to sleep the night before. She further claimed that she didn't see any of Lakeisha's messages. Possible do not disturb. Possible went to sleep. Mm. But if you have someone's son... I do think that that would be a red flag in my head of being like, well, you have my kid. Mm-hmm. What if there was an emergency? Lakeisha demanded to see her son right now. And Teresa says that she'll meet up with her in just a few minutes. Now, just when things couldn't be more bizarre with this, Kanoa finally texts Lakeisha because like, where was he? Yeah. Texts Lakeisha back and says that he actually got pulled over the night before and went to jail, which is why he couldn't get back to her.
What?
Okay, let's take a deep breath, because I think hearing this is a little... It's a lot. Try to understand everything that's still going on. I mean, this is sort of betrayal on another level. And keep in mind, Lakeisha still has never met Kanoa. The only person that Lakeisha has actually interacted with is Teresa.
When I read his text, I felt bad for being mad at Kanoa. I do know people get arrested. When Teresa brought me Kion back, I was so mad. I hated her at that time. After that, I was like, I'm ready to go home. I want to go home.
So, okay. Now all is back. The kids are fine. Now, despite the absolutely bizarre circumstances, just when things seemed like they couldn't possibly get weirder in this story, Lakeisha gets a text message.
I stayed in contact with him because I loved Kanoa a lot, but I still wanted to meet him. I still wanted to know him. Everything about Kanoa attracted me to him. The way he worded things, his looks, everything about him is what any woman could have asked for.
6 weeks after her trip to Spokane, Lakeisha got a text from Kanoa's mother, Kim, saying that Kanoa had been in a horrible car accident and that Lakeisha should make plans to come see him with her kids and say goodbye because he might not make it through the weekend.
He had smashed his head and they couldn't get his nose to quit bleeding and he was passing out. I was scared. I had tried so hard to see him, only to find out that he could possibly die.
Now, keep in mind, she still hasn't met Kanoa, but she has to come say hello, goodbye, meeting the kids, not. Now, for me, the red flag here is, I'm not sure I would have my mother be texting me. I would probably have Teresa texting me, because if I'm Kanoa, I'd be like, text my girl. But also, if I'm in a horrific car accident, like, what's the point of meeting the kids?
Right.
What's the point of meeting the kids? So they have to know that I'm going to die? Like, that just seems cruel. That seems...
Yeah.
I don't know.
All of that seems bizarro to me. And it's like the mother is just coming in and they're using his potential death as like another way to lure her in. This is so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah. The excuses here are just crazy. Now, Teresa then messaged Lakeisha to tell her that her cousin Ivan was going to be picking her up and they would be heading to the hospital to potentially say goodbye to Kanoa. Now, another character in here, Ivan, this could just be that Teresa was at the hospital, everyone's in the room, you know, and Ivan is driving. So this, no red flags here immediately. Mm-hmm. Now, when Tamara, Lakeisha's mother, found out that she was going to visit him, she demanded that the kids stay home this time because mama knows best here.
Smart.
Mama always
grandma.
Knows best. And she doesn't have the emotional entanglements with Kanoa, so she can kind of think clearly here. Lakeisha refused, saying that Kanoa really wanted to meet the kids as soon as possible. And if he's on his deathbed...
Oh, my God.
I could see the heartstrings are just being pulled here, Anna.
My brain's thinking, like, did Lakeisha win the lottery or something? Like, does Kanoa just want to get her money? Or, like, what's the underlying... What makes him want her so bad?
Right. Let's hear directly from Lakeisha's mom, Tamara.
I didn't trust Ivan because I didn't know him. I studied him and his vehicle. If something happened, I wanted to be able to at least describe him to the cops. I had a bad feeling something was going to go wrong. I didn't know what, but I knew something was going to go wrong.
Now, Ivan was apparently very polite, easy to drive with, according to Lakeisha. When they arrived at the hospital, Teresa came out and insisted that she and Lakeisha visit Kanoa first, and that Ivan can bring the kids later. There were just too many doctors, was the excuse. So you drive all this way, your three kids, then you can't even go inside the hospital because there's too many doctors.
No.
But he's on his last life. But there's time for her to go see her and then bring back the kids. Like, there's a lot of excuses here.
Yeah, and a lot of, like, push and pull. And it's just kind of like, honestly, if I was Lakeisha at this point, I'd be like, I want to know how this plays out. What do they want? Do they need me to sacrifice my firstborn? Like, what is it they're after?
Why are there so many hoops?
Yeah.
And I already lost my kids once. I don't want to do it again. Now, she said, quote, Ivan seemed like a real sweet guy. He made it very easy to trust him, according to Lakeisha. Keep this in mind for later as we kind of dissect Ivan here. But Lakeisha does agree to leave her kids behind with Ivan, except for her oldest. She takes her oldest. Now her youngest two children are in the truck with Ivan, and she and Teresa are going to go up to see Cano at this hospital. Lakeisha remembered that as they approached the elevators, Teresa was saying she was feeling too tired and overwhelmed, presumably with everything going on and her cousin on his last leg here, that Lakeisha should go ahead and visit Cano while Teresa watches her oldest child in the lobby. Now, here's the thing. When I first read this and when I was researching the case, part of me was like, maybe Teresa wants the happy couple, using air quotes here, to see each other without having Teresa be there. But then why bring the kids? Then you separate the kids, and now you're still separating them even further. There's just a lot of barriers here.
I also would have asked, is he with it enough? Is Kanoa okay enough to make all of these requests? Or is this something you guys are just assuming he'd want? Because I feel like...
Right.
Like, there's too many cooks planning this right now.
If I'm on my last leg and, you know, I want to meet the love of my life, like, time is of an essence, people. Mm-hmm. Like, time is key.
Right.
Lakeisha says, okay, she does agree, and that she would only be 10 minutes, saying, I felt like with the cops involved last time, it couldn't go wrong again. Now, obviously, we have to kind of wonder what's going through Lakeisha's mind here. Letting her kids be in the custody of yet another stranger, kind of two separate ones, one semi-stranger, one complete stranger. Given what happened to her the last time, I think
splitting them
up
too.
But I also think that, granted, last time when she got the car, as soon as she mentioned the cops, it was kind of solved. So I think Lakeisha, in her mind, is like, well, I got the cops backing me up here. Like, I know that this would scare them. They're not going to do it again. Mm-hmm. Lakeisha arrived on the third floor of the hospital where she was looking for Kim, Kanoa's mom, who was supposed to lead her to Kanoa's room. But after searching all around the hospital floor, there's no sign of Kim, no sign of Kanoa for that matter. So instead of spending more time searching, Lakeisha went back downstairs to obviously check on her own children. But when the elevator doors opened to the lobby, neither Teresa or Lakeisha's child was there. And
oh,
when she went into the
God.
Parking lot to look for Ivan's truck, it was also nowhere to be found. And it happened again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Janice from Warner Brothers Discovery. Spring is officially in bloom here in the Northern Hemisphere. And with a fresh season underway, you might be seeking your own transformation. For some, that means a new approach to weight loss or nutrition. Noom has a unique approach. Noom is tailored to each person's psychology and biology. It's built to meet you where you are because Noom understands that no two people are the same. Noom stands out to me because it offers a holistic approach to well-being. From coaching to recipes, Noom's app provides personalized information to help you on your journey. I also think it's great that Noom doesn't restrict what you can eat, and it doesn't shame you for treating yourself, and treat yourself you should. What's more, Noom believes in nourishing rather than restricting. Noom can help you lose weight while still enjoying your favorite foods, because this approach is about eating well and treating your body right. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your free trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
As you might imagine, panic fully has set in now for Lakeisha. Again, it happened again. I'm assuming here, although I don't know, that a lot of shame is setting in for Lakeisha here. I mean,
She got played again. I mean,
right.
And all her kids are involved. It's not just like we can beat ourselves up over bad decisions we make, but, you know, when other lives are at stake, you're like, that rips you apart.
I was just going to say, I mean, it's one thing to kind of be caught off guard yourself, but when it involves other people, I mean, this is sort of this ultimate betrayal, because not only does Lakeisha lose her children here potentially, but she's also mourning the loss of this great love of her life, which is also a betrayal in so many ways. Now, elsewhere at 9:30 p.m., Teresa and Ivan pull up to an apartment building with Lakeisha's three children. This gets wild, this story, Annie. This gets wild. Teresa takes Cayenne, the youngest, disappears from the car from Ivan. Moments later, Lakeisha gets a call from a police officer who had visited her home where her mom, Tamara, was waiting anxiously for her return. The officer informed Lakeisha over the phone while she was talking to her mother and that her two youngest daughters were safe. It turns out that Ivan was not Kanoa's cousin, was in fact hired to drive Lakeisha to Spokane by Teresa. After Ivan was left in the car with the two young girls, he called the police where they came and rescued them.
What?
Kind of an innocent bystander. We don't know why he did it. Perhaps it was money. We don't know what he was told in the story. Okay. But apparently after Ivan was left in the car with the two young girls, he called the police where they came and rescued them. So he knew something was up. So seem like he was involved in any ruse or didn't know or backed out at the last minute. But either way, he's literally probably responsible for saving these kids' life. Now, while all this has been resolved sort of somewhat quickly, there was still no sign of her youngest saying, "To know that my oldest two were safe, it gave me a little bit of relief." But again, the youngest baby here is missing. Yeah. Here's what Officer Mike McNabb, who was involved with the case at the time, had to say about the situation, as well as some original audio from an interrogation.
In the beginning, I thought maybe she could be in on some type of conspiracy because it seemed a little too odd to be true.
Why would you leave your kid with the same person who didn't show up with your kid last
time?
I'm an idiot.
I thought that perhaps she had given the baby to Teresa or even sold her child to Teresa.
No, when did you first meet Kanoa?
I didn't.
Is she like a boyfriend over the internet?
But then we started to establish that she was most likely the victim.
It's got to be hard because the police have to handle the situation accordingly. And I'm sure Lakeisha is beyond reproach at this point. The police then began to put the pieces together when they realized that Lakeisha has never met Kanoa, has never met Kim either. So police are trained to think about these things with sort of, or some of them are trained to think about these with sort of this rational head. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot easier when emotions aren't involved. Like Tamara, like the mother, like for us, I think it's easy to sort of see this. When police specifically asked Lakeisha if she had met them, she responds with a no, to which the questioning police officer responded with, quote, "I don't think anyone has because they don't exist." Bombshell.
Catfish. Oh, no.
I mean, it was clear to police that Kim, Teresa, and Kanoa were all the same person. The entire scheme was an elaborate plan to abduct a child. So, which is an elaborate plan. I mean,
very multiple characters, different storyline, different phone numbers, different.
We got to drive the 3 hours. I'm stuck on the drive. I'm like, I got to drive 3 hours. Like, who wants to be stuck in the car for 3 hours?
Yeah, right.
Like,
also, I'm sorry. She should really date this Ivan guy. It sounds like he actually was an honest man who picked up a little extra cash to drive someone.
And might be good with kids.
There you go. Yeah.
Let's hear in Lakeisha's own words what she was thinking at the time.
It was very hard for me to believe that I allowed myself to be so naive to trust somebody. I felt like I failed my children. I felt like I failed myself. I hated Teresa. I wanted her to know how it felt. I wanted her to feel empty. I wanted her to feel broken.
And, you know, there's catfishing for romance, but this sort of takes catfishing to a whole other level with the abduction of children. I mean, I've never seen this. At this point, so Lakeisha is backed by the police here. The police kind of know what's going on. But at this point, the police called the number that Lakeisha had for Teresa, where, of course, no one answered. But an hour later, police received a text from Teresa's number from someone claiming to be Kanoa's brother, Clay.
Oh my God, we're Clay adding with even a K. more people.
Kanoa, Clay, Kim. It's very Kardashian to me. Now, the text read, Clay here, Kanoa's brother. My mom, Kim, is taking the baby back to Lakeisha at the hospital.
What?
Why is the baby at the hospital? Because Lakeisha was already at the hospital.
Oh
so
my God.
This obviously surprised the police who were trying to hunt down the abductors and Lakeisha's children. Police figured that it was just another personality Teresa had probably created in her mind. So they responded urgently, saying they were treating this as a kidnapping case and that they needed her exact location. Ooh. Are you ready for this? The police got a reply that said, room 36 at a local motel. Like, boom, here's the location. Here I am. I'm doing this elaborate ruse. Here's this location. So obviously police immediately deploy to this motel, arrive at room 36.
Okay.
They knock a few times to no response, and they enter using the hotel room key. No one is inside. So back to square one. They did get another significant potential break in this case. Because at this point, if Teresa's sending them on a wild goose chase, they can't be doing this. So Teresa called the police department herself, saying that there's been a huge misunderstanding and that she's at the hospital where she was last seen with Lakeisha's child. Police immediately arrive at the hospital where they spot Teresa and arrest her immediately. And I'm going to need you to break this down after I'm done here because I need you to think about the motive here. Now, thankfully, Cayenne, her son, Lakeisha's son, was completely unharmed. Found at the hospital. Great. Lakeisha was emotional remembering what it felt like to know her son had been found and that he was unharmed. Okay, here's another clip of Lakeisha talking about what she was feeling.
Not having my son or my daughters was the worst thing that I ever could have gone through. Holding him in my arms, it was like I just gave birth to him all over again.
Thank the Lord for this. Now, upon her arrest, police discovered that Teresa was, of course, not Teresa at all, actually. Her name is Fern Littlecalf. Fern was charged with 3 counts of second-degree kidnapping, to which she pleaded guilty to it. Now, despite the second-degree kidnapping, Fern was sentenced to just 6 months in jail. Never revealed her motive for kidnapping Lakeisha's children, but police had their own theory that she may have lost a child of her own previously in her life and was looking to raise one by any means necessary. And while this story thankfully ends with the safety of the children, you can only imagine the heartache and betrayal this caused for Lakeisha and her family. Okay.
Wow.
That's it. Yes.
Well, I got something at the end there. I actually think because the first time when she mentioned police and she brought the kid back right away, I think she was like, I think Teresa, are we calling her Fern or Teresa? Let's call her Teresa.
Let's call her Teresa, but Teresa? Fern Littlecalf. But Fern Littlecalf is a great name.
I think, okay, then we'll go with it. Fern Littlecalf, I think, also was feeling delusional. If this is true, that she did lose a child and she feels this urge to be a mother, I feel like I've seen it in the movies. You know, there are women out there who are like, I need a child. I watch a lot of Lifetime. And so I feel like she wasn't going to hurt this child. She wanted to raise the child. She didn't think that was wrong. She's going to give this child the best life she can give them. So whatever it takes to get there, doesn't matter, right? Because she's going to give this kid a good life because she's going to be a good mom. That's, I think, her problem.
Let me ask you this. Did you think originally when the kids were taken that it was for some sort of sexual exploitation or child trafficking of some sort? Because that's automatically where my mind went.
I didn't because she seemed chill with her in the car. So I didn't know. I thought she was I thought she was being hired, to be honest. I thought if this Canoa person is real, he's probably a bad person. But I got the vibes he hired Teresa, you know, hey, this is a girl. She seems innocent. She seems nice. Like, she can pretend to be my cousin. She's not threatening if she shows up to pick this girl.
I actually thought Teresa was hired as well for some bigger scheme, I think, in sort of doing this. And she was kind of this middleman. But once only the youngest went, like, in a weird way, I kind of knew that it was probably a little bit more emotional for Teresa as opposed to some sort of bigger exploitation. Because why go through all this trouble and then leave two of the people that you're trying to sell? Like, it doesn't make any business sense, if you will, for lack sort of better terminology here. But do you think that Fern Littlecalf, a.k.a. Teresa, got the sentence she deserved, though, given the pain and just horrendousness that Lakeisha and her family went through?
I don't think she's going to be a changed person in 6 months. I think it sounds like she needs some real psychological help. And unfortunately, putting her in jail is not going to give her that kind of help. I mean, like, she needs to grow as a human being. You can't get on the internet and, you know, find these very young, impressionable mothers and fake a relationship with them so you can, like, steal their kids.
I think you're right. I think for me, if I'm determining this, and obviously I don't know this for sure, but it does sound a little bit more of like a psychological issue probably.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering that if in the time period of her talking to Lakeisha for 3 weeks, I wonder if she's kind of pulling this scheme on other people and seeing who takes the bait. And that's why the timing is so weird with all of this stuff.
I could totally
right.
see
I mean,
that.
6 months, definitely not a long enough sentence, but also jail might not be the best thing to rehabilitate this person in general. So let's end this story with Lakeisha's own words about what could have been a much more tragic story.
Fern Littlecalf took my self-worth, and it's taken a while for me to feel comfortable with myself. My bond with my family now is stronger. Now that I know that in an instant, they can be gone. I love when they come in my room at night to cuddle. I love hearing them say, "I love you, Mom." Every minute with my children is a second that I wouldn't waste for the world.
Ultimately, biggest form of betrayal on multiple counts. I feel terrible for Lakeisha. I imagine that this is just torture for her. And I'm glad in this situation, she can end up with all of her children intact, smarter, better, you know, and kind of live to tell the tale. This was such a story of ultimate betrayal. And that's it for this week's episode. And of course, thank you to the brilliant Anna Roisman for joining
thank
me on this
you.
Week's episode.
You're sending me back to therapy.
are you going to online? Are you more or less scared of online dating after doing this?
Honestly, I'd love to. If my boyfriend lets me go online dating, I'm going to do it.
You've met your boyfriend in person, right? I just want to make sure. Okay. She's nodding her head in
unfortunately, yes. He pays rent. Yes.
Okay, good. Well, that's a good thing. Now, Anna, where can people find more of, you know, Robert Durst, great grand cousin, and your amazing personality in comedy?
Thank
you. Where can the people find you?
At Anna Roisman, AnnaRoisman, all over social media. Or you can listen to Unemployed with Anna Roisman anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Amen to that. I'm Darren Karp. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. For more on Lakeisha's story, including fan reactions and more, head over to crimefeed.com/podcasts. And for more true crime TV like this, be sure to download the Discovery Plus app today.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.